You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Good morning and welcome back to the Mike Salk Show. No, Mike Salk is at home recovering. Hope you feel better, big guy. Instead, you got me, Michael Bumpus, and Robert Turbin. Turbo, how you doing, my man?
What's up with it? I'm great, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm here with you talking sports. Life is good. It's a Friday, getting ready for Memorial Weekend. You got any plans for this weekend?
This weekend, let's see. We got a birthday party. My daughter just had her last day of school yesterday, so she doesn't know this, but I'm going to take her to get pedicures. We're going to go do the dad and daughter thing, man. We're going to get some pedicures. It's a manicures, probably. She would like that because, you know, she's always trying to get her nails done and stuff like that, man. So we're going to do a little daddy-daughter date this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
There we go. Have you ever gotten a pedicure before?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, too, because I was like, how do running backs take care of their feet? Like, that had to be something you paid a lot of attention to before.
I didn't start paying attention to it until, like, year four.
Really?
Yeah, that's when I started getting pedicures. Not necessarily on a regular basis, but I'd get them, you know, often enough, I would say, in the off season. And that was heavily because my trainer really encouraged, you know, going to get a pedicure, and the spot was right there across the street from the training facility we were working out at. So, yeah, you know, definitely got to take care of the feet, man.
I got my first one this year.
Wow, you didn't. So as a receiver, what? Too, I thought you'd be the same this way. Year, turf toe and all that stuff.
I mean, my dogs look good. I didn't feel like I had to go get them. So I got my first one this year. That's with funny. My wife for her birthday. But let's talk some football, man. There's a blogger in San Francisco. We're not going to mention this guy's name. But he got at Javon Kinlaw. He said, look, this guy has an 80-year-old knee, just very critical of this young man, and went kind of hard on him. And Kinlaw reacted to him. He sees him at practice. He walks behind him, stares at him for a minute. The guy turns around. He knocks his hat off. Like, it was a whole scene. Now, as athletes, we're going to be criticized, right? I remember when I was playing for the Seahawks, and people at this station were criticizing me, and I kind of just shook it off. I figured, like, it's part of the game. This is what I have to deal with. Turbo, have you ever been in that situation?
Oh, yeah. Many times. College, pros, you know, there's always maybe that one reporter that makes you at least feel like, you know, he went a little bit too far. Definitely.
Yeah, it happens. And it happened with this guy again. We're not going to mention his name, but here's a cut of how Javon Kinlaw responded to it.
Hold on, it's not playing for me.
But when I press up on you and person, you shaking like a coward, voice lighter than my baby, fam. What's up
you
with
think
that?
I'm scared of you, Javon?
What's up with that, fam?
You think I'm scared of you, Javon?
Fam, I don't give a if you are or not. All I know is when I walked up on you, your body temperature was cold as ice. Great, yo.
I mean, it goes on for a while, and it sounds more of those bleeps.
Yeah, lots of bleeps.
It was the blogger had like a live stream going, and Kinlaw was like, you know what, I'm going to get on this. This is going to be my time to actually voice some of what I got to say, and so you can stop writing what you're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, did he go too far, Turbo? Would you? I don't think you would have responded that way. I think I know you fairly well. Do you think Kinlaw went too far, or should he just should have shrugged this thing off and say it is what it is? Let's move on.
No, man. Listen, you got to be you. You got to be you. You know, listen, would I have reacted a different way? Absolutely. But my name ain't Kinlaw. You know, my name ain't Kinlaw, man. And so, you know, big ups to the reporter there. He's live streaming. He's probably getting a lot of viewers and stuff like that, that maybe the numbers is what it's all about for him. You know, maybe that's why he said what he said. You know, to try to cause, well, maybe not to try to cause some friction, but obviously to get more eyeballs on what it is that he's discussing. But he has every right to react the way that he wants to react. Now, there was a lot of, blurps in there, you know, but listen, you attack a guy and things that he can't control, you know, like injuries. And people who we're working hard as pros, man. I mean, we're doing everything we possibly can to be out there on the field, be successful, and be the best that we can be. And the last thing we need is some person who ain't never even experienced it at any level to come at us, especially when it's about things that we have no control over, like injuries.
Here's the thing, too. Criticism, I can take that. It's part of my day. I've been married 14 years. I'm criticized with everything I do, right? That's just my life. But this guy went on and said, look, he was almost anticipating Kinlaw hitting him so he can get rich. Like, he just seemed like his motives were all bad. So I'm with you, Turbo. Like, Kinlaw, you have to be who you are. I wouldn't recommend putting hands on a man because nowadays they will see you so quick. And he was looking to do that. He goes, look, I was hoping I didn't have to work anymore. I could just become a millionaire off of Kinlaw hitting me. So now let's flip it over to the coach's perspective. If you're Kyle Shanahan, is this something that you are even addressing? Are you just looking at this on Twitter, reading about it, and just saying, look, Kinlaw is a grown man. He's going to handle it himself. Or, Turbo, or do you pull Kinlaw to the side and say, what's up, man? You good? Are you trying to get a temperature of how he's feeling about this?
I'm pulling Kinlaw to the side, yes, as a coach, for sure, because that's family to a certain extent, right? That's my guy. This reporter is not my guy. I'm going to pull him to the side, too. Matter of fact, he might not be allowed to come to the facility anymore.
Yeah.
Especially right. when you're talking about, I was hoping to get hit so I could become a millionaire. Come on, man. You don't want that kind of personality around your players in that locker room and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So you're here basically to try to set some guys up to do something negative. And that's not the type of folks you want to, whether you're in the media, player, in the kitchen, whatever, training room, whatever it is that you're doing. That's not the type of attitude that you want to surround your program with. So, yeah, I'm pulling Kinlaw to the side because that's my guy and we have bigger fish to fry. But this other dude, this reporter, he got to go.
Yeah, that's good to say. If he doesn't want to work again, it sounds like he might not be after the way he handled the situation. But is this my question for the two of you? Is this a product of players being more empowered with their futures? So we've seen that a lot lately, right? We've seen, especially the way that they handle like their own personal social medias. Or has this type of reaction and this type of, I don't want to say this type of player because that's not what I mean, but are we only seeing this because of social media? Has this type of response always been there from the two of you in the locker rooms that you've been in, or is this new?
Oh, I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. When I was playing Rocky Bernard, D lineman, back in the day, well, Rocky, you didn't want to mess with Rocky. He let you know exactly how you feel when he wants to let you know how you feel. And some reporter said something to him. I don't even know what he said. I don't know what the exchange was like, but it was hot in there. And you're right. I think because we have access, they have access to us. We have access to them. Like, you can DM somebody right now and tell you how they feel. We're going to see more of this. And I think that athletes just have to realize that and understand, look, Turbo said, you got to be you. Yeah, you be you, but just know that this is going to be out there now. You know what I'm saying? So just be cautious of what you're doing, or just be okay with however people perceive you after a situation like this happens.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was live streaming.
Right. That's not something we get 5 years ago, right?
Right. Nah. Right. He was live streaming, man. You know what I mean? So, of course, there's going to be access. But, you know, listen, we can always talk about it or debate if you know, he could have approached things differently. But, you know, I'm backing Kinlaw on this one, especially after hearing this dude trying to become a millionaire. Like, that's some, you know, that's some bull jive. Okay, words of Shannon Sharp.
This also goes for any other fan. Like, if you're a fan and you're upset at what your favorite player, your favorite team does that week, whether it's for your fantasy or it's because you're a Seahawks fan, do not add those players on social media, man. Like, don't be that person. Don't be that guy. A, they're not going to see it and they don't care about you, but just – it says way more about you and way less about them.
Yeah, I'm all good with fans expressing how they feel about stuff, but just know that there's going to be reaction to stuff. Like, I wish I could stand at someone's cubicle and just critique everything they do. Like, man, you didn't staple that right, Bob. What are you doing over there? You know what I'm saying? But that's just the world athletes live in. They have to understand that. And then people have to understand there, for every action, there is a reaction. All right, Mariners about to kick off a 3-game series at home. We'll tell you what moves have been made with the ball club and everything else you need to know next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station and 710 in the Seattle Sports app.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Mariners sent struggling reliever Drew Steckenrider, who was a key part of the bullpen that helped the 2021 Mariners win 90 games, down to AAA in Tacoma. No corresponding move was made. Thus, Seattle has one open spot in his 26-man MLB roster. And Jerry DePoto told us yesterday not to expect any help coming by the way of trade this point in the season.
It's hard to make trades early in the season. You usually don't see trades until June, July. But I don't think that we're going to be able to address any of those needs via trade anytime soon.
Sounds like these guys got to buckle down and make it work, shuffle that lineup. Get that bullpen right. Get that starting rotation right. Mariners open the first game of three against Houston at home tonight. Chris Flexen starting for the Mariners against Justin Verlander on the hill for the Astros. First pitch is at 6:40 p.m., which you can hear on Seattle Sports with Wyman and Bob leading you up to the pregame show.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
This one's for Turbo. Golden State Warriors advanced to their sixth NBA Finals in the past 8 years as they beat the Dallas Mavericks 120-110.
Golden State is going to the finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. Big night for Klay Thompson with 32. A double-double for Looney. This crowd is back. They're on their feet, and their Warriors are going to the NBA Finals again.
Turbo, I remember when my team, the Lakers, were dominant for about 5 to 8 years. Man, you must be feeling real good right about now.
Man, we feeling good in the Bay, man. We feeling real good in the Bay. And for me personally, particularly for Klay Thompson, man, because, listen, coming off those injuries and being able to see him bounce back the way that he has been remarkable.
I love it. Speaking of Klay Thompson, got a little bit emotional after the series win.
It's just hard to put into words, man. Like, I dreamt of this day during some dog days. And to be here, I'm so thankful for our squad, man. They started the season so incredibly well, allowed us to finish out strong, and we are 4 wins away from a championship.
The Splash Brothers are back together, and every time Klay Thompson is mentioned, I got to give a go, Cougs. Happy to see Klay doing his thing. Boston takes on the Heat tonight at 5:30. The Celtics lead the series 3-2. Who you got tonight, Turbo?
Boston closes it out, man. Jason Tatum gets his first finals appearance.
All right, Jason, get it done. NHL playoffs update. Carolina Hurricanes drop the New York Rangers by a score of 3-1 and take a 3-2 series lead in the East. Edmonton Oilers drop the Calgary Flames in overtime to win the series 4-1. Game 6 between Colorado and St. Louis is tonight at 5 p.m. The Avalanche lead that series 3-2. Here is a goal by the best player in the game, Connor McDavid.
Draisaitl to McDavid. McDavid shoots. Score! It's over!
Man, I stayed up late to watch that one. Playoff hockey's real, Justin.
Dude, that is a lot. Yeah, Connor McDavid's absurd. Everything about hockey, to me, blows my mind. The sheer athleticism of them is unbelievable. And watching Connor McDavid here when he played the Kraken was pretty fantastic. And we're hoping that Matty Beniers is going to show us some glimpses of that as a Kraken in the future.
The speed is ridiculous. The substitutions are impressive to me, too. The line changes.
Yeah.
I mean, how fast it happens.
Dude, it's ballet at like 60 miles an hour with muscle.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Perfect way to describe that thing.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Tyler Lockett joins a long list of Seahawks greats as he receives the Seattle Sports Star of the Year award last night after his third time being nominated. Lockett was also the winner of the 2021 Steve Largent Award and has been nominated for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the past. Third time is the charm for Tyler Lockett. He is impressive. He will kill you on the football field, smile at you, score touchdowns, go for 1,000 yards 3 years in a row, but he'll also get awards off the field. Impressed with this young man, Turbo.
Yeah, listen, I mean, he's one of the greatest Seahawks of all time. It's as simple as that. He's proved it on the field, and he's certainly shown it off the field. He's been the example as a leader as it pertains to even the he's already working on the transition of his next career as a real estate agent, man. So he's had an impressive career, but even more impressive off the field.
Man, the great thing about Tyler Lockett, he's an example of you got to set yourself up for life after football, right? You can't just lean on what you do on the field. You can use that to catapult you to do different things. You mentioned him doing real estate, helping out in the community. I think he won an Emmy for a film on Black Wall Street, the Tulsa Massacre. I mean, this guy is everywhere. That I mentioned already, he's a poet. He's not afraid to be vulnerable. You know, it's tough for us guys to be vulnerable, especially with the poems and all that, man. Tyler Lockett is a great example, Turb.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And just setting the foundation. Just setting the foundation of what the league is really all about, right? It's not just about, you know, what you're doing on the field and scoring touchdowns, but how you're making an impact on people's lives and setting yourself up for your future.
All right, now let's go back to basketball. Boston versus the Celtics. I mean, Boston versus – I'm everywhere this segment, Justin. Get me right.
Yeah, you're right, man. Boston. It's Friday, too. It's just the way it is.
Boston versus the Heat. Now, I'm a Lakers fan, right? And, you know, we got bad blood when it comes to Boston. This is the first team where I don't mind if they have a little success. Now, I think the Warriors are going to get it done. I lean to the Warriors because they're a Cali team. I'm from Cali. But Boston, they're no chumps there, Turbo.
I underestimated Boston this season, not going to lie, especially when they were, you know, sitting at 500 almost midway through the year. I just didn't think they had enough, you know, but they certainly shut my mouth and proved me wrong and a lot of other doubters wrong. And here they are in prime position to reach the finals.
And they got an old school player in Marcus Smart. Like, we don't see dudes play as tough as Marcus Smart does anymore. He'll D you up and he does the dirty work. He had a quote, I believe, a week ago. He said, look, our job is to be here for Tatum and Brown. Like, he understands his role. Right? He's not trying to be something that he's not. And that just shows team camaraderie and great coaching, too. You got to have guys understand who they are and how they affect teams.
Absolutely. And that shows leadership and professionalism as well. And, you know, that is what breeds a great culture and a franchise and a team. And that's why the Boston Celtics are in the position that they are today.
All right, real quick, let's go back to hockey. Last night, there was a Calgary could have won that game. There was a goal in the third
period. Disallowed.
Disallowed, said it was kicking. I went on Twitter. People were saying, no, he was trying to stop. I see him trying to stop, but I clearly saw that left leg go out a little bit and kick that thing into the net. What do you think, Justin?
Those are so – being a new hockey fan for me, too, it's not like I can go back and be like, oh, well, this happened in the 90s when this and this and this, like I can with baseball. But it's just – the way it's been explained to me is if it's a clear kicking motion, like you can deflect pucks with the skate, but you cannot move your foot towards it, right, and deflect it in, or sorry, in a kicking motion to deflect into the goal. But if it just skates off of you, fine. But at a big moment like that, that has to hurt as a Calgary fan.
It's a natural reaction. You got the puck just floating right there in front of you, and he definitely was trying to stop too. He was going to crash into the net. Mm-hmm. So it was tough. As soon as they started looking at that replay for more than 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like, nah, this ain't looking good for Calgary, man. It's such a high to come right back down. Yep. I felt for those fans, man.
Yep, but we get to see McDavid in the finals. So
get to see McDavid. I'm a new fan. McDavid might be my second favorite player. I'm going with Matty Beniers first. Got to keep it local.
Like that.
The QB conversation isn't going anywhere for the Seahawks, and this year's draft has a lot of people excited. But who are the sleepers that we might be overlooking? We'll dive into that next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
You got to let her speak real quick. Welcome back to the Mike Salk Show. Michael Bump is here with Robert Turbin filling in for Mike Salk. In honor of 90s night here.
That's right.
At T-Mobile Park.
You sound like you want to talk to the flow of the music right now.
It controls me. I might bust a flow real quick. If this was 07, I might get you, Turbo. But I can't do that. I'm old now. I told my son, I go, hey, man, you know your dad had bars back in the day. He looked at me crazy. I go, man, I ain't always been 36, dog, man. I was cool. Once upon a time, I was cool, man. He did not believe me.
You need to stop letting your son punk you, man.
Hey. You know what I'm saying? Hey, he don't be punk me. Hey, don't get it twisted, Turbo. Okay, don't get it twisted.
I'm like, man, it sounds like he got the upper hand with everything. Fashion, flow.
Well, he better have upper hand in fashion, man. You know, when you're young, you can do things that, you know, I just can't pull off. Or I don't want to pull off. He has more freedom.
Man. See, I'm gonna be in my 50s and 60s still thinking I'm fly.
Hey, I can see that too, Turbo. I can see that. All right, well, Brock Huard is going to join us in 15 minutes to talk some Seahawks. But let's talk about some of these potential sleepers, man. The Hawks had a good draft this year. Last year they had, what, 3 picks? This year they walk away with 9, I believe. Am I right, Justin? I believe 9 picks this year. And Field Goals put out an article. It's titled Potential Instant Impact Sleepers for the Seahawks. Now, we talked about the three headliners, really, right? That's Charles Cross, it's Ken Walker, and it's Abe Lucas. Abe Lucas and Charles Cross on the line. Ken Walker, running back from Michigan State, who transferred from Wake Forest, had a crazy year. But as you know, Turbo, some guys, a lot of guys who have success in this league are found later in the draft. And there are a couple guys that I really like, and you know I'm going to start with these receivers, man.
I already knew it.
You already know. You know where I'm going, all right? Bo Melton, this guy is special. Now, can he transfer his skills to the NFL? We shall see. But if you look up film on Bo Melton, he is the everything guy. He can go deep. He'll catch the screens. He does the jet sweep well. He's going to put some pressure on guys like Freddie Swain and D. Eskridge to show up and show out. I mean, that's why we have OTAs, because there's only a few guys who are safe in OTAs, right? They're the clear-cut starters, the DKs, the Lockets, Russell when he was here, Bobby when he was here, but now it's Jordan Brooks, it's Daryl Taylor. Like, those guys are safe. But Bo Melton can make some noise. Do you see him putting some pressure on this receiving core, or do you think it's going to be more of a struggle for him to have success and make the roster?
Oh, there's always pressure. There's always pressure, man. And a guy like that who's a late-round pick, hungry, has some success in college, and you talked about him, you know, as it pertains to his skill set, man. He can do a little bit of everything, you know. Now, different type of receiver, but just, you know, I'm gonna compare him to Jermaine Kearse only in the sense where, like, I call him Jay Clutch because of some of the incredible plays he was able to make over the course of his career, but undrafted, right? And so, you know, you think about, like, well, he's undrafted, you know, we'll see what happens, and boom, he goes off to have this incredible career in Seattle, and then obviously goes off and continues to have success as well. And so Bo kind of being in that in a similar boat to me, you know, where it's like, listen, late round draft, wasn't undrafted, but late round, but certainly has an opportunity to make some noise.
Yeah, I think he does. And we're seeing, Turbo, that receivers are having a lot more success early than they used to. Even back when DK was first drafted, everyone's saying, give him 2 or 3 years and he'll figure it out. Nah, he came out his first year, had 800-900 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, and he's only gotten better. And we're seeing that with receivers. And I see that in Bo. I think Bo can really make some noise. Now let's go over to the defense. Kobe Bryant. Now, this is one of the steals of the draft for me. Corner out of Cincinnati, drafted in the fourth round, not super late, not early, somewhere in the middle. Kobe Bryant has a chance to start right now. He won, I forgot the name of the award, but the award for the best defensive back in the country. He won that, and he slid to the fourth round. I see this guy contributing right now. When I watch the film, I see a dude who is confident, good football IQ, recognizes route combinations. And where's that chip on his shoulder? We know DBs love to talk. We know they probably might be the most confident dudes on the football field. But I really like what Kobe is bringing to the team.
Yeah, it was the Jim Thorpe Award that he won last year for best defensive back in college football, which is a lot to say because there was some pretty good DBs in college football last season. But you said the one thing that is critical to any professional, any athlete really at any level, confidence. And that's exactly what I see in Kobe Bryant as well. He just has this swag about him, man, this confidence about him that you can't teach. That ain't something you can coach. He knows who he is. He's comfortable in his own skin. Now it's just about dialing it in as it pertains to getting the defensive scheme down, understanding what your assignments are, and going out there and playing free. But certainly the cornerback position, just like last season, is one of the, you know, it's an open competition per se, right? And certainly a spot that Kobe can take over if he performs well.
And his name is Kobe Bryant. It's Kobe, and he's wearing number 8. I mean, he's destined for greatness. I love that he switched his name up, or his parents switched his name up, C-O-B-Y, so he can still be himself and show some love to the great Kobe Bryant. Let's talk about Tyreek Smith, Ohio State, the DN. This guy is vicious, fires off the football, plays violent. At that DN spot, you got to be violent. And I really like this pick because the Hawks have not been great at getting after the quarterback. Last year was Daryl Taylor and Carlos Dunlap. Dunlap is gone. Daryl Taylor's going to play kind of a different role this year, right? He'll be in a three-point stance, also back up and rush from depth and get into coverage in the zone. But you need guys like this who just get after the quarterback. It's been a while since you can look at this roster and say, that guy's going to give you 8 to 10 sacks. I'm not saying Tariq is going to do that, but I'm saying that there's potential there and they're addressing a need.
Absolutely. Certainly a guy who can develop into a dominant defensive end. And listen, you know, the defensive line is one of those positions where the more depth you have, the better, right? Because then you can rotate guys in.
Yeah.
You can keep guys fresh. Now, the Seahawks have a young defense that they're building around, and their future is immensely bright. I think Tyreek Smith only adds to that in a positive way.
So we go from Tyreek to Tariq Woolen, the corner out of the University of Texas, San Antonio. This dude is big, Turbo. He's like 6'2", 6'3", 200-plus pounds, and he ran a 4.2. The knock on this dude is going to be he's only played 16 games at the corner position. But now here's the advantage. He played receiver. He understands what we like to do, how we're trying to move guys. He's going to be a developmental type player. He's not going to be a guy who's going to come out there and compete for a starting job, at least I don't think. Can things happen? Of course they can happen. He can show up to camp and just blow everybody away and be good to go. But I see him contributing on special teams to start. But to have a guy with these measurables, right? These guys ain't just walking around all day. A DB at this size with this speed, 4.27? Come on, Turbo.
That's speed. That's real speed right there. At 6'2", man, 200-plus pounds, that's real speed. And, you know, I think, you know, you talked about the advantage of him playing wide receiver, and you know, but he's only played 16 games. But I think the fact that he's only played 16 games can play as an advantage as well, because we talk about that developmental piece, right? You know, some guys come out of college and, well, they've either peaked already or their ceiling isn't that high anymore, right? They're getting pretty much close to what their highest potential is. And with Tyreek Woolen here, with only 16 games under his belt, the sky is the limit. There's so much that you can develop with this guy. And so there's a lot of potential there for him to become a great player in this league. So he'll be an exciting player to watch, you know, not only this year going into training camp, but over the course of his career.
Another receiver, Dariq Young, a wide receiver. He's a big boy as well, 6'2", 6'3". Actually played some running back in college as well. Has over 600 yards rushing in college. I've seen this guy line up as a tight end in the slot and outside. The first thing I saw when I put on the film for this dude is he's violent. Like, he's a blocker. And as receivers, you know, we get the label, we don't want to block nobody, prima donnas, all that stuff. When I played Turbo, if you didn't block, you wasn't getting on the field. And I'm sure you running backs appreciate a receiver who's going to get down the field and take care of that second, third level so you guys can really have those big runs. This is another guy that I think can make some noise just off his physicality, right? You're going to bring a different type of vibe to this team. And we're hearing that they want to be a run-heavy team. The Seahawks want to be a run-heavy team. If you want those big runs, big boys got to handle the line, get on these backers. Wide receiver needs to get on these corners and these safeties. I see him doing that. It's going to be hard for him to make this team because of Bo Melton and everyone else that is in the receiver room. But there's potential there, man. I like what he's bringing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, that physicality piece that you're talking about is important. And playing to your strengths, you know, is important as well, man. And those are things that – those are ways that you can make the team. And you mentioned this about Tyreek Woolen, right, special teams and things like that, right, showing that, you know, availability and physicality from Dariq Young from a special team standpoint is going to be important, especially as he looks to make this team.
All right, now before we get Brock Heward on the line, he'll be here about 4 to 5 minutes, man. We have to address the quarterback position. I know people in Seattle are probably tired of this, but you shouldn't be, because most teams don't win without a good quarterback unless you have a dominant defense. Now, Pete has been publicly saying Geno and Drew are the guys.
He showed us a good deal of command of our offense when he played last year. He has a terrific understanding of it, so he's out in front of the other guys that are involved in the competition in that regard. And by the time he got a couple games under his belt after sitting for 3 or 4 years, and he functioned in the Jacksonville game as well as you could function, you know, and he had a beautiful game there. And that looked like the culmination of his return, kind of, you know. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't get to capitalize to see what the next step would be, because Russ came back and played. But you know, he popped the ball around.
Geno played okay. I mean, they went with 1-3 with Geno under center, but Geno played okay on Halloween. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, didn't get a win after that, but he did enough to keep the Seahawks in the game. Pete has said, look, Geno has the upper hand on Drew Lock, as he should. He's a veteran. He's been here. He understands what Pete Carroll wants. He's had a year under Shane Waldron in his system. I believe that they're going to do some things differently, but the terminology and just the feel of Geno being there, he has the upper hand on Drew. I think where Drew has the upper hand on Geno is that I don't think we've seen the best of Drew Lock. You can say what you want about Drew Lock as a rookie. He was 4-1, and after that kind of stumbled a little bit. COVID season, then Teddy comes over and beats him out. I believe the Seahawks think that they can be the quarterback whisperer and get Drew to perform at a level that he hasn't performed at yet. But where do you see this race, and how do you see it panning out?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. You know, I mean, because I've even thought about, I mean, has anybody talked about a two-quarterback system potentially?
Oh, man, don't do, not know? In the league. Not in the league.
Hey, the Saints did it. You know, they weren't the only team either. You know what I'm saying? So we've seen it in the league. Okay, we've seen it now sparingly, but we have seen it, you know. And so I think, personally, there's some potential there because they have two different skill sets. But, you know, Geno being a veteran, I think that gives him the upper hand. And we know that, listen, he's been a starter before. They've both been starters before. But his, you know, his career didn't go well with the New York Jets. But whose career has gone well with the New York Jets, especially at the quarterback position? But, you know, we know the Jets have Robert Saleh now from Seattle, by the way, I should mention. And so we're seeing that program getting turned around the right way, which is a cool thing to see. But it certainly is going to be interesting. I think for both guys, it's going to come down to two things. We talked about confidence earlier, right? I think both guys have that for the most part. But yeah. I think the other C word in this thing is consistency. And I think more than anything, that's what the Seahawks fans and the Seahawks coaches are looking for at the quarterback position. You don't have to be anybody spectacular. You don't have to, you know, be Batman out there, right? But you certainly have to be able to manage the game, not turn the ball over, and be a leader for this football team, which Geno has been able to show, okay, consistently over the course of his time during the Seahawks. I'm talking about his leadership. So it's going to be an interesting competition to watch.
You mentioned quarterbacks. Let's bring in the lefty himself, Brock Huard.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Let's welcome Brock Huard to the show. Brock, we had almost a full segment about you yesterday. You didn't even know that, did you?
What?
We were talking about, obviously, we were talking about the Rocky theme songs and the Top Gun theme songs. You said you're going to go throw some weight around to some Maverick and all that stuff. But then we started breaking down the 80s. We're like, Brock is like every 80s villain we could think of right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like the way that, but if you know Brock, it just doesn't make sense. Uh-uh. But you could like be the poster boy for the 80s villain.
Well, your boy is a 80s soundtrack guy, I'll tell you that. I mean, Rocky IV, Top Gun, those still play. When I was on the VersaClimber yesterday, I left you guys, went in there, and I did. I started throwing some weight around, not like Turbo, and I certainly don't stretch like Turbo either, but I got after it. Top Gun, Kenny Loggins. I believe Kenny Loggins, there's some trivia about Kenny Loggins. Maybe that text toy will light up and tell you. I think maybe he was born in Wenatchee or, something like that. He's got a little Washington flavor, a little Washington
connection.
I think
he's born in Everett.
There you go. He was born in Everett. Thank you on air, Justin. And and obviously a huge part of both those soundtracks, Rocky IV and Top Gun. So I'm down with that.
There we go.
Were you guys just talking some QBs, by the way?
Yeah,
we were talking some QBs. You know, I actually didn't even know I didn't know you were a lefty, man. I didn't know you were a lefty. But real quick, before we get into football, you mentioned Top Gun. Have you seen the new one? Isn't there a new one?
Ooh, there's a new one. I think it's out today. I think she's coming out today. So I think I got my tickets for tomorrow.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That was made well before you were born. And that's why you also didn't know I was a lefty, because I was probably – oh, look at that. Give that to me right there. Come on, Turbo, seriously.
Yes.
You just got to move in slow motion when this comes on.
Right.
Turbo, you get under that squat rack today, man.
Okay.
Right there. Boom.
You know what?
Boom.
I got to add this one to the playlist right here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I have to.
kind of gets the blood going a little bit.
It does.
What is Turbo? What is Turbo squat these days? What could you? What could you get under that bar right now? I remember vividly, okay? So back in the day, last century, when I played, like 99, 2000, I was with the Seahawks. It was a little different times back then. Off-season began in March. It didn't begin in, like, May. It began in March. We were back there. And our strength coach, great guy, Ken Johnston, said, okay, he's Southern boy, Alabama boy. He's like, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get under that squat rack. This is like our first week back. He just kind of wanted to see what everybody's been doing the last few months. Put something comfortable on there, boys, and get down there, a little box, little box squat. Sit on the box, come up. Just give me something you can do five times. Don't hurt yourself. Just give me something you can do five times. And I remember watching Amon Green. Do you guys remember Amon Green?
Oh, yeah.
Green Bay. Mom was a monster now. Nebraska, Green Bay, started in Seattle, fell asleep at every meeting, part of the problem here. Went to Green Bay and turned it on a little bit. Mom put 465 on that squat bar and just did five reps like a rubber band. Like, I just took my breath away.
Take your breath away.
Yeah, another Top Gun song, and pretty remarkable stuff. So, Turbo, if you got under that squat rack today, just comfortably.
Today.
Yeah, what could you do five times comfortably?
405.
Easy.
Still four plates on there, I'll be good.
Easy. Pretty easy, too, huh?
We can get that done.
I'm doing old man workouts. I'm not putting weight on my back like that.
Body weight squats. Body weight squats.
I ain't there yet, but I'm not doing 405.
Take my breath away. It's all right. I had to do it now. I started looking at the soundtrack.
Nah, I appreciate it. There you go.
This is where we are right now. This is where we are.
Ah, that's funny.
Hey, Brock. Well, you know, I might as well talk some football with you, huh?
Yeah.
You know. So we were talking quarterbacks, and there's been a quarterback who got a workout with the Las Vegas Raiders, Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
And the thing that worries me about Cap, now I don't think he's going to be a starter in this league if he gets an opportunity, but he's been sitting for 5 years, Brock. Like,
yes.
The game has changed in 5 years as well.
Yes. Like,
how realistic is if he were to get some time, how realistic is that he has success?
That's a pretty tough stretch, and I have said here for a few years, and I've shared the story about Tim Tebow and Chip Kelly, who said to me, hey, listen, I had a Temple Penn State game early when Chip was the coach of the Eagles, and Tebow was in camp there trying to make it as a QB, and ultimately Chip cut him and said to me, you know, I told him what I would tell Kaepernick, and that is, you got to go play. Like, yeah, go play. And for Tim, you know, Chip Kelly said, you got to go play up in the CFL. Just go play. You need those live reps. You need to get hit. You need, you know, to train that anticipation and that accuracy. And those are the two big ones, Bump, that you can throw routes on air. And I know he's been doing that the last few years. Heck, he did it with Lockett and crew up there at the UW, a month ago or so. You can do all that you want to, but as far as like playing the game and the speed with which that game comes at you and the timing and the anticipation and ultimately the accuracy. I mean, that was the thing that unfortunately was his shortcoming, in the NFL. I think he was a career 59% passer. So once again, where this game is today, where you got to be in upper 60s, you know, frankly, it's Drew Locke's issue. You know, you've got to be an accurate guy, and you got to play with anticipation. And when you haven't been seeing those things for 5 or 6 years, yeah, I think count me as a skeptic as one that would say, man, it'd be awfully hard, especially now. I think he's even in his mid-30s, right? This is not a mid-20s guy. This is not the guys in the USFL that I've seen for 5 weeks that are trying to resurrect their career, keep it going. Yeah, he's been out for quite some time, and I think it will be a heck of a challenge for him to get back.
You know, you mentioned USFL. We know the XFL is coming up next year, I think January or February. Do you think those are the kind of leagues that would have been beneficial for a guy like Cap?
Oh, no question. No question. NFL Europe was so beneficial to the John Kitnas, who played 16 years in the NFL. And he not played for Jack Bicknell and the Barcelona Dragons, I think he'd be the first to tell you that he probably wouldn't have made it in the league, that those were critical reps as he was starting his practice squad career and went over to NFL Europe and balled out. Jake Delhomme did the same. He played over for the Amsterdam Admirals and then ultimately came back and with Carolina took him to a Super Bowl. Damon Eward, my brother, was out of football. He was working for the late Paul Allen, saving the Seahawks, traversing the state of Washington to raise money and awareness to build that stadium there in Seattle that we've so enjoyed for the last few decades. And the Dolphins called and said, hey, we want to send you to Frankfurt, Germany to go play for the Galaxy. See if you can make it happen. He goes over there, and 12 years later, plays for the next 12 years in the NFL because of that. Kurt Warner, through the Arena League, also playing for Amsterdam. There is a long list of guys that needed those reps, that needed that experience, that needed, as I talked about, those reps under fire and duress, you know, where you need anticipation and accuracy. And those guys certainly utilized and leveraged that league to make great NFL careers. And that's where hopefully the USFL will be something that can sustain. Heck, the XFL a couple years ago when I was a part of that, you remember the little QB from Temple, Phillip Walker, I believe was his name.
Phillip Walker.
And he was out of football and had been in some camps, and he was in Indianapolis in camp, but, you know, kind of bounced around, used, you know, those 6 weeks to play great, to get to Carolina, and started some games in the NFL over the last couple of years when Sam Darnold got hurt. So that is where those leagues, I think, could be most beneficial to that position in particular.
Yeah, there's so many decent ball players who need the reps that you just don't get in the NFL, right? It's not like they're rotating guys in and everyone's getting an opportunity to develop. Nope. They're going to play the guys that they pay. Like, we're paying you a bunch of money, or we drafted you high, you're going to get the opportunity. No knock on these guys, but they choose who they're going to invest in. And one guy I'm interested to see if they invest in, I want to know what you feel about him, is Bo Melton, man. I really like the kid out of Rutgers, bro.
Yep. Yeah, he did not have a lot of help around him. He did not have a QB during his time up there in Piscataway. And he's just got some game to him. I know he was a seventh-round pick. So to compare anybody to Doug Baldwin, who was actually an undrafted guy, is unfair to do so. And he doesn't have those kind of quicks, but it just feels like he's got some of that mindset, just some of that edge, right, that Doug had. And you guys have been around, and Turbo most recently, you've been around that program, and you've seen undrafted guys come in, and those that, you know, believe they can do it, got that little edge, they're the ones that can make it. Those that come in start counting numbers. Oh, I don't have a chance. They're not paying me. Like Bump just said, they invest in those, and I'm probably not going to make it. He sure seems like the former. He seems like a guy that's hungry, that's got an edge, that didn't have a great supporting cast, certainly no QB help at his time in New Jersey. And, he is certainly one of those guys to keep an eye on and watch.
All right, Brock. Well, we appreciate your time. You go get your workout on. I envision you doing bar squats right now, just the bar, because, you know, we don't throw four or five on there anymore.
Yeah.
And you get after it, my friend.
You know what today's going to be, actually? I got after it yesterday. Today's going to be some burpees and planks.
Okay.
Yeah, and I may need that Top Gun even more today, because old men get sore, and I am sore. Have a good Friday.
All right, Brock, take care.
See you, boys.
Mariners feel like they are in a free fall mode as they fall to last place. So what's missing on this team, and how can they fix the leak? We'll dive into that more next. It's the Mike Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.